And we're holding the last line of Lamed Hey Amud Beis. So we had in the Mishnah the case of a person who rented a cow from somebody else and then lent it to somebody else. So Reuven owns the cow, Shimon rented it from him, and then Shimon lent out the cow to Levi. And we'll discuss in the Gemara today that we're talking about that he had permission from Reuven to begin with to do that. So the Mishnah had talked about, then you have the case where now the cow died while Levi had it. So Levi has a shoyl is chayev for it dying because he's chayev and onsin. Shimon as a socher would be potter. So we said the Tanakhama says then that once Shimon swears that this is what happened, which now that shavua makes him potter, now Levi would pay him. And Rabbi Yossi says no, he can't do schoda, he can't be doing business with somebody else's cow. And therefore the payment goes back to the original owner, to Reuven. And we discussed that point yesterday. So now the Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah says, now to understand the following piece, we need to know that we know that the Torah tells us when a person makes a false shvuah, then they're chayav a korban, but there are two different types of false shvuah for that purpose. You have what's called shvuas bitui, which we learned some about them in Nedarim a year and a half or so ago, and we'll learn Be'ez Hashem more about them in Masechta Shavuos. So you have where a person makes a Shavua that doesn't have any many monetary consequences, just that it's a false Shavua. So that he's Chayav Korban for that. He's Chayav Korban Olav Yodin for that. So one of those type of Korbanos where depending on his means, if he can afford it, he brings a sheep, and if he can't afford it, he brings two birds, and if he can't even afford that, then he brings a Korban Mincha. Then you have a shvuas kfiras moment where he's swearing and denying money, which we talked about that especially towards the end of Bava Kamma, where a person who does that, then when he does tshuva, then for that he's chayev a korban, or he has to pay a chomesh and he has to bring a korban osha. So now Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, pa'omim sheshneim b'chatas. Sometimes it can happen, depending on what claims they make, that both the socher Shimon and the shoyl Levi are going to be chayav b'chatas. Sometimes it's going to happen. In other words, that both of their shavuos are going to be a shavuos bitui that doesn't have any monetary consequences. Pa'omim sheshneim b'osham. Sometimes they're both going to have to bring an osham because both of them have. Both of them are trying to patter themselves from money. Sometimes the socher's shvuah is not one that tries to patter him from anything, but the shoyl's is. So therefore, the socher Shimon would be bringing a chatas, a korban olah v'yodin, and the shoyl would be bringing an osham. Sometimes the socher b'osham, a shoyl b'chatas, and sometimes the other way around, where the claim is such that the socher is trying to patter himself from paying, and the shoyl is meanwhile, and the shoyl is not. So you have all four possibilities, Rabbi Yirmiyah says. And he teaches out, Ketzad, Ha Ketzad, how is that? What are the basic ideas? How are the possibilities? So the basic idea is Firas Momen Oshem Bitus Fasayim Chatas. Anytime there's a Shvuah that involves where he's trying to deny a monetary claim against him and to say that he's potter from paying, for that he brings a Korban Chatas. For that he brings an Oshem. For that, he brings an osham, which is davka a ram, and it has to be a ram in its second year, and it has to be a minimum value of 2 sloim. Bitris fasayim chatas. But if it was a shvuah, bitris fasayim, which is that he expressed something which is lips with his lips, which is untrue, but there's no monetary consequences to it. So then there's a chatas, which can be any of those three types of chatos, depending on what he can afford. It doesn't have a minimum value. And it's a sheep rather than a goat. So let's work out all the possible cases. And by the way, in our Mishnah, when the shoyl is paying, of course, you know, we're talking about Rabbi Yirmiyah is reminding us he is going to have to swear as well, even though he's paying for the reason that we learned previously that Rav Huna said that Chayshin and Shema ain't of Nasan Bo. We're concerned that he may have decided to keep the animal himself and to pay for it, and therefore we have to make him take a shvuah that it's not Birshusay. So. So what's the scenario where both of them are chayev only a chatas because neither of their shavuos has monetary consequences? Suppose that it died normally, which would be something that a socher is potter for and a shoyl is chayev, but they falsely claim that it was nensa, and both of them claimed that there was an onus. So soicha de ben kach or ben kach mifta potter. So the soicha either way is going to be potter, because whether it was mesa kadarka, which is an onus, or nansa, which is also an onus. Nansa would be, for example, that they were saying, let's say that a listed Missourian, that an armed robber came and stole it, which would be an example of an onus. So the soicha either way is potter. Therefore he's bringing a chatas. Shoyl, the ben kach or ben kach, kiyuhu mechayev, and the shoyl is either way chayev, because the only way he's potter is mesa machas malacha, then therefore also bechatas, so he's also bringing only a chatas. Pa'omim sheshneim ba'osham, then you have the scenario where both of them are chayev and osham, kagun shenignava, the case could be where it was stolen, va'omru mesa machas malacha, and they're claiming mesa machas malacha. Now a soicher, being like a shomer sochar, is chayev for gneva v'aveda. Tosfos, in fact, points out, now you have various places in Shas where there's a machlokas about that, a machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a socher has the basic dinim of a shomer chinam or the basic dinim of a shomer sochar, with the exception, of course, either way, he is allowed to use it for work, and therefore he's potter from Mesa Machmas Malacha, that you have a machlokas in a few places in Shas. Since Rabbi Yumi is saying over here as an obvious thing that he is chayev for Gneva Aveda, that indicates the halacha is that he's like a Shomer Socher, and that's how it is. So a socher is like a Shomer Socher in that regard. So a socher, so to Tavayuk or Kafri Mamona, both of them are trying to deny money, because both of them would be chayev to pay, and they're trying to patter themselves by saying that it was mesa machmas malacha, which is something that both of them would be patter for. Therefore, when it comes out, when it turns out that they're both lying and they're ready to do tshuva, then they're both bringing a korban ashim. Next, soicher b'chatas v'shoyl b'asham. You have the case where the soicher is going to have to bring a korban chatas and the shoyl will be bringing an asham, namely that the soicher's shvua is not trying to patter him for money, but the shoyl's is. You're going to mesa kadarka. The scenario would be that the animal died normally, v'omru mesa machmas malacha, and then they're claiming that it died because of malacha. Socher de ben kach or ben kach mifta potter. The socher is potter either way, because mesa kadarka is an onus and mesa machmas malacha, both he and the shoyl are potter from. Therefore, chayev b'chatas. So therefore, now he's bringing a chatas for the shvuas bitri, for the fact that he swore falsely. Shoyl de mechayev mesa kadarka. The shoyl would have been chayev because mesa kadarka, because that's an onus for which he's chayev. The kapotter nafshim and mesa machmas malacha. And he's trying instead to claim that with Mesa Machmas Malacha, which is the one thing for which he as a shoyl would be potter, but Osham, so therefore he's bringing a korban Osham for the fact that he tried to deny a monetary claim. And the other way around, Socha ba'osham b'shoyl b'chatas, the case where the Socha is bringing an Osham and the shoyl would be bringing a chatas, is the other way around, you nignava, v'omru mesa kadarka, it was stolen, but they're claiming that it died normally. So now the Socha is chayev in the actual thing that happened, because gneva is one of those things he's chayev for, again, being basically like a shomer socher in that regard. He's trying to patter himself by claiming that it was an oinus, so therefore now he's going to be chayev an osham for that false shvur. So therefore, ba'osham, therefore he's bringing an osham. Shoyl, the ben kach or ben kach, yuhu mechayev. The shoyl is going to be chayev either way, because the shoyl is going to be chayev either way, because either way, whether it's Nansa, whether Nignava, which is whether Gneva, or whether Mesa Kadarka, which is an example of an onus, either way, a shoyl is potter for those things, so therefore Bechatas, therefore he's bringing a korban chatas. Actually, the Ritva points out that you do have one thing over here. You can have a case that you can one of these cases over here we're saying is where it died and he swore that it was Nansa, so we're saying that he's potter either way. Isn't there the matter of that though, when he was claiming when it died naturally, he would have to return the nevela to the original owner, and now when he's claiming that it was taken by listed Missourian by armed robbers, then he's not having to pay that. So in that case, even in that case, on the face of it, he's pottering himself from something. And the Ritva explains that you could be talking about where the nevela isn't actually worth anything, which we learned in Bava Kamma. We have cases where the nevela might not be worth anything. Or also, you could say that he claims that it died, which so far he's potter from, and then the nevela itself is an onus happened here. It fell into a river, or it fell into some place where we can't get it out of there anymore. Maybe a wild animal dragged it off or whatever. So therefore, so you could have cases where by claiming that Mesa Kadarka, he's still pattering himself. Okay, so we have all four possibilities. So the Gemara says, my Kamash Malan. Okay, what is Rabbi Yirmiyah telling us with this? The fact is, we know those dinim of Kfiras Momen versus Bitris Fasayim, and therefore we ourselves, on the face of it, could deduce all of this. And in fact, the last Mishnah, the last Perek in Masechta Shavuos, talks about basically this point. Doesn't delineate these exact examples, but it mentions examples with all four Shomerim. Where a person claims X, and in reality it was Y, where we're saying that then he's chayev, he's chayev for the shvuah of kfiras momen, or not chayev, which would mean that he's chayev only for shvuah bitteri, as the case may be. So that's basically the same thing as Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying over here. What is his chidush? The answer is la pukim in Rab Ami. Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to tell us, not like Rabbi Ami, the Omar, where Rabbi Ami says, Kol shvua sha dayonim ashbiyan oisa, anytime that the dayonim make a person swear a shvua, ein chayov an aleh, mishum shvua sbitui, then there would not be a chiyuv of shvua sbitui for it. Meaning, so if it turns out, so if he was kofa momen, then yeah, of course he's bringing an oshem for it. But Rabbi Ami is saying that if it turns out there was no kfiras momen involved, it's just that it was a false shvua. For example, to take one of our examples where he's claiming that we're actually Mesa Kadarka, and he's claiming Nansa, where again, as a Seicher, either way he's Potter, and as a Shoyl, either way he's Chayev. So according to Rab Ami, because Beis Din is imposing that Shvuah on him, he's not Chayev for Shvuah Sbitri. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, O Nefesh Kisi Shava Levate Bisfasayim. The Pasuk says, when a person swears to express with his lips something which is untrue, then he brings a korban chatas and olav yored. That means Reb Ami learns kisi shava ma'atzma. That means only when the person swears on his own without being told to by Beis Din. Kamash Malan, but like Reb Asi, therefore you could like Reb Ami. Therefore, Reb Yirmiyah wants to tell us, not like Reb Ami, that even then he would be chayev for shvuas bitui if his shvua is not something that actually involves where he's claiming that he's potter for money. Tosfos points out there is another opinion that's relevant to this as well. In the Gemara in Shavuos, so we'll get to it sometime next year, Best Hashem, we have an opinion of Shmuel, who says that, now like this, with a Shavuos Bitri, you have different kinds. You can have a Shavuos Bitri can be L'sha'ovar. So for example, a person can swear a Shavuos Bitri that I ate such and such, or I didn't eat such and such. Then you can have a Shavuos Bitri, it can be for the future. I will do such and such, or I won't do such and such. And in each of those cases, if it's untrue, then he brings a korban. Shmuel holds that Shavuos Bitri would only apply to something that could potentially be in the future. So Shmuel would say, for example, that if a person swears, I ate yesterday, then it turns out that he didn't, then that would make him chayev for a korban, because that's something he could conceivably, and he's saying he ate yesterday, eating is something he could do tomorrow. But for example, Shmuel would say that if he swears that Pliny did something yesterday, then, and it turns out it's untrue, then Shmuel holds his potter, because you can't do the other way around. You're not able to say a shvua that Pliny will do something, because how are you going to force him to do something? So Shmuel holds that in that case, a person is potter on the past as well. Now here you have the kind of thing. He's saying that Nensa, or whatever claims he's saying over here, even Mesa Machmas Malacha or whatever, even though it's obviously not something that could happen in the future, and nevertheless Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying he's chayev for Shavuos Bitri, which shows that he also doesn't hold like Shmuel in that regard. Okay. Now the Gemara starts a discussion, which we're going to relate back to our Mishnah. Itmar, we have a discussion as follows. Shomer Shemosa L'Shomer. If one Shomer gives over the thing that he's supposed to be watching to another Shomer. So what would happen now if something happens to that thing while it's in the hands of the second one? Rav Amar Potter, Rav Yechanan Amar Chayev. So Rav says he's going to be potter, meaning, in other words, Sarashi says he's going to be potter from anything that he would have been potter if he did it himself. So to take our examples, so let's say, for example, we're talking about a soicher and a shoyl, let's say. So the Gemara is going to ask soon from our Mishnah that you have a case where the soicher is potter. We're going to get back to that. But right now, we're saying like this. So suppose, for example, a soicher give a socho lends the animal that he rented, he lends it to somebody else. So now, suppose that, for example, it's Mesa Machmas Malacha or Nensa. Let's take the example of the Mishnah, actually, where Mesa Kedauka, actually, where there was an onus, it died normal. The socho himself would be potter from that. So therefore, so Rav says he's also potter, even though he gave it to somebody else. But Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Chayev, whereas Rabbi Yechanan is going to say that he's Chayev in that case, even for Onsin. Tosfos points out, actually, that it is true, everybody agrees that that person can say, as Rabbi Yechanan is going to point out over here, Ein Ritzoni, Shehei Pekdoni, or as Abaye is going to point out within Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, Ein Ritzoni, Shehei Pekdoni, Biyad Acher, I don't want my Pekodin to be in somebody else's possession. Rav agrees with that concept. But he says that's not strong enough reason to make the original Shomer Chayev for something that he would have been potter from had it happened when it was in his Rishus. So therefore, Rav is going to say that he's potter. There are actually a few opinions among Rishonim exactly what first Shomer is going to be potter from according to Rav. You can say, for example, that maybe he's potter from everything that the second shomer would be chayav for. Say, for example, he gave it to a shomer chinam. So now you could say that. Listen, the shomer chinam is chayav for pshia. Therefore, if there was pshia over here, then the first shomer is going to be potter, and only the second shomer is going to be chayav. And you have a few that's the Ramban hold that way, and there are a few other possibilities that we've shown him talk about exactly what would be the nature of the chiyuv of the first shomer. Anyway, so the Gemara teaches out Omer Abaya l'taimei de Rav. If we look according to Rav's reason. If we look into Rav's reason, and we're saying that Rav is saying that he's potter, so let's go to be more straightforward. Let's go with Rashi's explanation. In other words, that the first shomer is potter from whatever would have happened from whatever it is that he would have been potter from had it stayed by him. So, for example, again in the case of our Mishnah, was saying that he would be potter from Oinsin, he would be potter from Mesa Kedauka and other Oinsin like that, because as a socher, he's potter from that, and therefore the other guy, the Shoyol, may be chayev for that, but he remains potter. So following Rav's shita, says Abaya, loy mi boya shemachinam shemasa l'shema socher. Needless to say, if a shemachinam, or if the original shomer was a shemachinam, and he gave it over to a shema socher, da aluye alya, he improved the Shmira. After all, a Shema Socher is chayev for more things than a Shema Chinam. A Shema Socher is chayev for Gneva Vaveda. A Shema Chinam is potter from that. So you could say definitely there would be a reason for Rav to say that for Rav, and therefore, obviously, because a Shema Socher has more of a chiyuv, therefore he puts more effort into watching the thing. So needless to say, that in that case, the first shomer, according to Rav, should be potter from whatever would have from. Suppose, for example, now that there was a gneva v'aveda for which he, the shomer chinam, is potter and the shomer socher is chayev. For sure, Abaya is saying Rav would hold that the shomer chinam should be potter on that regard. And again, according to the other rishonim, you have other possibilities, including that he puts more effort into it or whatever. Even if it's the other way around, a shemach socher gives it to a shemach chinam, he reduced the shmira of it. Now the shemach chinam is chayev for fewer things than the shemach socher is. He's also less likely to watch the animal as carefully because now he's a shemach chinam and he figures he has a lesser degree of responsibility. So nevertheless, Rav would say, he says, Abaya Potter. My time at the Hamaster of Vendas, and the reason would be because, after all, he did give it to a Vendas. So therefore, Abaya teaches out that therefore that's reason enough to potter the first shomer. Because once he gave it to a Vendas, you can't say, in other words, that what he did was pshia. You can't say that it was pshia on his part to give it to somebody else to watch, because that other person is a bendas. Maybe if he'd given it, let's say, to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, then you could hold him responsible because you shouldn't have done that. But he gave it to a bendas. Therefore, says Abaya, Rav would hold his potter even in that case. Okay, then Abaya continues. Now, if we look at Rabbi Yochanan's Svara, we would have to say, says Abaya, needless to say that Rabbi Yochanan would be mechayev him if Hashem HaSachar gave it over to Hashem HaChinam, to Garui Gara L'Shmirasai, where he weakened the Shmira, because again, Hashem HaChinam is chayev for fewer things and feels less of a responsibility. So Rabbi Yochanan would certainly say that he's chayev, because the original owner can tell him that was wrong of you to do that. I gave it to you as a Shem HaSachar. What are you doing reducing the degree of Shmira? Ela afil Shem HaChinam, Shem Masal Shem HaSachar. But Rabbi Yochanan would say that even if it was a Shem HaChinam, gave it to a Shem HaSachar, Da'aluye Ailot Alya L'Shmirasai, he improved the Shmira of it, because now a Shem HaSachar is chayev for more things, and he's going to watch it more carefully. So nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan would still say chayev. It'd still be chayev for whatever happens to it, John Malay, because the original owner can tell him, Ein Ritzoni, Shei Pekdoni, Biad Acher, he can tell him that Svarah that we said before, I don't want my Pekodin to be in somebody else's possession. Now, before we said, Tosfos had said, Rav would take the view, okay, yeah, you're not allowed to do it, but nevertheless, that's not reason enough to actually be mechayev him for what happened to it. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that is reason enough. Tosfos discusses, it's not, in other words, so much that he did something different than what the owner said, based on the Gemara on Omer Beis. We're going to see it's not so. Rather, the reason is it's considered that the original owner told him. It's considered as though he told him as part of the process of giving him the item to watch. He's telling him, if you do anything different, anything that I don't want, for example, to give it to somebody else, we're going to consider it as though it was Pshia. And once you were Pshia, then you're Chayiv in everything, even Onsin. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various nafkaminas that would come out of that as a result of that. First of all, so Rav said that he gave it to a bendas. So Rav would say that if he gave it to a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, then he's going to be chayav, even if it's something that you could say further on the base. The Gemara is going to point out that you can have, let's say, there's different kinds of air in different places, and maybe the air in one place is less healthy for an animal. So conceivably, you could have, for example, let's say it died, and let's say the second Shomer took it into his house, and it died there. There is maybe reason to think that maybe the air in that house is less healthy. So that can still be considered like a pshia. So Rav doesn't hold that it's a pshia to give it to somebody else because it was a bendas, but Rabbi Yochanan would hold that it's pshia, and therefore you can be mechayev him even in those cases like that. And where there's no pshia, then Rav would say he's potter, and where we can attribute it, where we can call it pshia, then Tosfos says even Rav would agree that it's chayev. So the Gemara says, Omer of Chista. So Rav Chista says, okay, so now we're saying we have this machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. But you should know, says Rav Chista, Poder Rav lav befedush itmar ela miklola. You should know, this that we're saying that Rav said that the first Shomer is Potter, Rav didn't actually say that explicitly. We deduced it from something that happened, from a case that was brought to Rav. The case was like this. Dahanu ginoi. There were these gardeners. The chol yoy mahavu mafke de marayhu. Every day, when they finished their work, they would leave their shovels or their hoes or whatever it is, their tools, by a certain old lady to watch them. She was their regular shomer. One day, instead of doing that, instead of giving them to the old lady, they gave them to one of their group of gardeners. They told him, "We're all leaving you. You watch our shovels for us and make sure that they're safe." Maybe they were telling him to give it to her, but maybe they just meant that for today, you're going to be watching. Shama kola behimula. Meanwhile, this guy who had the shomer, who has the shovels, he hears the sounds of a chasana. Nofak Ozel, so he went to go and attend and be Mesameach Chosin Rakala. What's he going to do with the shovels? After dinner, Lagabadai, he sabda. He went to that old lady and brought her the shovels. So yeah, we have to assume that they didn't originally intend that he should bring them to her. They intended that for that day, he should walk them. Now that he's not available, now that he's making himself unavailable, so he brought them to her. Ad Ozel V'Osa, by the time he went and came back from the chasana, ignuv marai, who the shovels were stolen. Also, kamei de Rav, so he came to Rav, upatre, and Rav said that he's potter. Man de choza, so the Talmidim who saw that Rav paskin that way, they figured, sava, mishum shomer shemasa l'shomer potter. Evidently, Rav must hold in general that shomer shemasa l'shomer is potter. The old lady is a bas das, and we just said before, Abaya says that according to Rav, it's fine because you're giving it over to a ben das, and it's not called, and it's not shia, therefore. So even though, fine, maybe they could say, but in this case, that doesn't matter. That's not reason enough to be machayim him. And she is a bas das. So therefore, so it seems like Rav would hold that in general, shomer shemasal shomer is potter. But Rav Chista says, it's actually, that's not correct, really. That's not really a correct inference. Shiny Hossam, because different over there, the Koyoim and Nami Inu Gufayu, because they themselves, every other day, Gabadahi Savda, have a Mafkid Ilahu, every other time, they were Mafkid, they themselves were Mafkid, the shovels by her, so now, they can't even say, Ein Ritzoni Shehet Pekdoni Biyadach. But Pashtos, I mean, I guess we could say, if there had been something that where they had reason to say that they don't trust her anymore, then that would be one thing. But here, it doesn't seem from the story that there was any such thing. Punk that day, they decided to do something different. Maybe they were in a hurry to leave and they didn't have the time to bring it over to her. Maybe whatever. The point is that they can't even say, like this, we started with the Swara of Ein Ritzoni Shehet Pekdoni Biyadach. Rav holds that's not, that anyway, that may be true, but that's not a reason to be Mechayev. And he is giving it over to a bas das. So it's not, so, but in this case, it's not even the fact that she's a bas das, it's the fact they can't even say, in with Sony Shepik, Dony Biad Acher, that whole possible claim is a non-starter, because every other time they would give her these shovels to watch. So in that particular case, you can say that they're potter. That doesn't show that Rav would generalize from that to other cases where this object has never been by this other person, and that now you should say that you're potter, maybe not, maybe Rav would not hold that. So in other words, when we said Rav Oma potter, not necessarily did Rav actually, so Rav never actually said that he's potter. We inferred that from the story, and it may not actually be a correct inference. It may be that actually Rav would agree with Rabbi Yochanan in general and just disagree in that one particular case. And maybe even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in that case, because again, there's no Ein Ritzoni Shehet Doni Biyadach. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ami, and we can generalize from this, by the way. One thing we can generalize from this is a lot of times when we have in the Gemara where it says that a certain Amora or a certain Tana said such and such, it doesn't mean that he actually said it in so many words, means that we can infer it from something he said, because that's what we're doing over here. We started by saying Rav Oma Potter, and Abaya was even teaching out what would Rav hold in the various scenarios, and now in the end we're saying that Rav didn't actually say it, and it's only something that we inferred from what he said. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ami v'kamal ala hoshmaita. Rav Ami was sitting and saying over this teaching of Rav Yechanan that a shomer shemasa l'shomer, the original shomer is chayev because the original owner can say that I don't want my pekodin to be by somebody else. Esve Rav Abba b'memo, Rav Ami, so Rav Abba b'memo asked him based on our Mishnah. We have the case where Shimon rented a cow from Reuben, and he lent it out to Levi, or Mesa Kadauka, and it died normally. He said, the Socher swears that it died normally, which is an onus, for which the Socher is potter and the Shoyal is chayev, and then the Shoyal pays the Socher. So now, the Im Issa, if we're going to say what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, then why should Shimon be potter in the first place? Why can't Reuven, the original owner of the animal, say that I don't want my pekodin to be by somebody else, and therefore you, Shimon, had no business lending it out to Levi in the first place, and you should be chayev, as Tosfos had said, I'm going to consider it that what you did was pshia, and therefore you're going to be chayev for anything, including Mesa Kadavra. Omalei, so Rav Ami answers, Hochab Mayaskin, Bishinosnale Rishus Habailim Lahashir. We're talking about Rishus Habailim or Habailim Rishus, it says on the side, whatever, where the owner gave him permission to begin with to lend him out. So obviously, Rav Yochanan, who says, Ein Ritzoni Shehet Doni Biyad Acher, is not going to say that when in fact he said, it is my Rots and I am willing to allow you to give it to somebody else. So the Gemara asks, "Ihochi the Bailam Boila Shalomi." Well, in that case, why is the Tanakama saying in our Mishnah that in that case that the Shoyal that Levi pays Reuven, the original owner, in that case, if it was if the Socher is doing it, if the owner told him go ahead and lend it out, shouldn't he be considered a as if the soicher is a shliach of the original owner, and therefore and shlocha shaladim kamoisei, and therefore you should pay the original owner? And the answer is we don't mean he actually told him to go ahead and lend it out. The owner tells him it's up to you. If you want to lend it out, I don't mind. So therefore, he can't be considered a shliach of the original owner. But rather, it's considered an independent thing that he did of his own on his own, and therefore you can. Therefore, according to the Tanakhama, you wouldn't say that you pay the original owner. Rabbi Yossi says you pay the original owner, okay, because he said after all, the animal belongs to the original owner, and as we learned in the Gemara, you could say dal antva dal shvuasich. Let's get you the soicher and your shvua out of the picture. I'll deal with Levi directly. So Rabbi Yossi holds that. The Chachamim, meanwhile, were saying, hold that no, the Soicher is considered to that extent the owner of the animal. And since the original owner told him, L'daitcha, it's up to you if you want to lend it out. And then therefore, now we can't say, and that would be the case where the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about whether the Soicher, given that the Soicher is potter, because Mesa Kedarka, which is something that he's potter from, is the Shoyo going to be paying him, or is the Shoyo going to be paying him or not? But had it not been, had he not told him L'daitcha, then in fact, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, then yes, the Soicher anyway would be Chayev, because he was Peshea, and therefore there'd be nothing to talk about in terms of Levi paying him. Anyway, Shimon would have to pay Reuven. In that case, then you would have Levi would have to pay Shimon, and Shimon would have to pay Reuven. The Pashtus, then we would say that Levi pays Reuven directly, according to everybody. So therefore, no contradiction from the Mishnah on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara continues, Masav Rami Bacham. So Rami Bacham points out, I have another contradiction against Rabbi Yochanan. We learn later in the parak, Hamafkid Mois Etzo Chavere. If a person is mafkid money, coins, by somebody else, Struron, if the Shomer tied it up in his cloth, in his sudder, his handkerchief, or whatever, Vif Shilon La'achorav, and he slung it behind his back, and as we're going to learn later on, he's not supposed to do that. First of all, I mean, we're going to learn later on Daf Mem Beis that he's supposed to bury them in the ground. So fine, he can be talking about that he's not at home right now. The guy was mafkid to have money when he wasn't home. Therefore, he has to carry it home. But nevertheless, he shouldn't be slinging it behind his back, as we're going to learn later on Daf Mem Beis. He should carry it in front of him where it'll be safer. Anyway, so that would be an example where he was careless by slinging it behind his back where it could get stolen. Or another example, continues the Mishnah, Masran Levnoyu Vitak Tanim, if he gave the pikadon to his young son or daughter who are below Barabas Mitzvah and they're not Bnei Das, Vinob Fneim Shaloi Karoi, and he locked the door improperly, so he didn't make sure. Now, so like this, if he locked the door properly and the kids can't get out, then fine, there's less of an issue because at least it's not like they can take the money and lose it. The most that could happen is they could scatter it inside the house, but you'll easily enough find it. But here, we didn't lock the door properly, and therefore the kids might take out the money and lose it. So now, in those cases, Chayev, then he's chayev for if the money gets lost, because then the kids may take out the money and go lose it and scatter it outside. And the reason is the Mishnah says shalosh shama kederach hashomrim, because he didn't watch the thing the way that shomrim normally do. A shomer should have that the money, if he's carrying it, is in front of him. A shomer should have that he's giving the money to a ben das to watch. Or at least if he's not giving it to a ben das, if he's giving it to his young children, then he should lock the door properly so that they can't get out and lose the money. Now, Taima Dekanim. Now, Rami Bachama points out, why is the Mishnah saying that he's chayev is only because the children were children, they were little. Hog Dolim Potter, implying if they were adults, then he would be Potter. Why am I, based on Rabbi Yochanan and Svari, you should say, name a lay, why can't the owner say, Ein Ritzoni Shei Pekdoni Biyadachar? That I don't want my Pekodin to be in somebody else's possession, and therefore you, Shomer, were careless giving it to your older children, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't we say that? The answer is Omar Rava, but Rava says, because this is different. Kol ha-mafkid al das ishto yovonu hu mafkid. When a person is mafkid something with somebody else, he knows to begin with, it's al das, that the shomer, that the nifgad, might give it to his wife or his older children to watch. He can't say, I'm not in with Sony Shapik, Yoni Biad Acher. It's true. I don't know your wife. I don't know your children. But nevertheless, it's a normal thing that a person gives, that a person has to step out for a while and leaves it to his wife or his children to watch it. And therefore you can't be mechayev him for doing that. So that's different over here. If the children were gedolim, then yes, he could be potter on that regard, on those grounds, only because the children are tanim and he didn't lock the door, and therefore that makes it possible for them to go out and scatter the money. Only then is he chayev. Later on, by the way, when we learn this Mishnah later on in the Perek, and when we learn the point over there about Kol HaMafkid, Adas Ishtei Yevonov HuMafkid, first of all, by the way, the Gemara is going to point out, it's not only Ishtei Yevonov, the Gemara is going to give an example over there, including the person's mother, where also, in other words, basically any regular member of his household. So Tosfos points out over there that it means, in other words, now in the end, the Gemara is going to give a different svara why Shomer Shemosel Shomer is Chayev, which we'll get to soon. So that other reason wouldn't apply in that case as well, because again, you can say it's a normal thing for a person to give something to his family. However, Tosfos does point out over there, Rabbi Tam points out, nevertheless, if the person was Peshea and they don't have what to pay, then the original Shomer is going to have to pay. Otherwise, you have a loophole over here. Otherwise, you have a problem. Reuven is going to give something to Shimon to watch. Shimon is going to give it to his wife or his older children to watch. They're not going to have what to pay. And then Shimon is going to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't pay. And then that gives an easy loophole to destroy or do whatever to the Aveda and be careless with it. So therefore, we have to say, says Rabbi Tam, then it means only that the wife or the older child themselves would have to pay if they have the resources, but if not, then the shomer himself would have to pay. The Ritva actually disagrees with that and says that no, if you want to make it that the wife or the children are going to be chayev, you're going to have to put that in the tnai to begin with. And if not, then they're potter even if they don't have what to pay afterwards. So it's a machlokas between Rabbi Natam and the Ritva, what would happen if the Ishtei Yevonov don't have what to pay. According to Rabbi Natam, the Shomer will be chayev. According to the Ritva, even then he'll be potter. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amri Nahudoi. So the Chachamim of Nahudah pointed out, Dekanami, in fact, this that was saying that when he gave it to Ketanim and didn't close and didn't lock the door properly, he's chayev, implying, but if you gave it to Gedolim, then he'd be potter, because Kol HaMafkid, Adas Ishtei Yevonov HuMafkid. So then Nahudoi said, Dekanami. In fact, we can see that from the wording of the Mishnah. Dekatani Osha Mosel Levnoi Vita Ketanim Chayev, because the Mishnah had mentioned that he gave it to his young children. Paul a bit of Gedolim Potter, implying again, like we said before, if he gives it to Gedolim, he's Potter. Miklal, now we can further infer. So Rami Bachama had pointed out the inference that since it says Ketanim implies he's Potter with Gedolim, and that was what brought him to his question. Now the Nahudoi are pointing out, let's look at the wording even more carefully. We're saying Lebnoi Labitai Gedolim is Potter, focusing on the Bnoi Bitoi, Miklal, implying from that, Delacherim, that when it comes to somebody else who's not a member of his family, Loishna Gdolim, Loishna Ktanim, Chayev, then he'd be Chayev, whether they're adults or whether they're children, and that you can see that, Deim Kane, because otherwise, if you were going to say that it's not Dafka children, Lisnik Tanim Stoma, then the Mishnah would have no reason to say Bnoi Bitoi Ktanim, it could have just said Mosrim Ktanim. The fact that it says Bnoi Bitoi Ktanim implies, in other words, we have a double influence over here. It's true we have what Rami Bachama inferred from it, that if they're Ketanim, he's Chayev, but if he's Gdolim, he's Potter. And we said the reason is, even though Shomer Shemosel Shomer is Chayev, but nevertheless, in this case, when he's Mafkid, he has in mind that the person can give it to his children. But we can also infer from the fact that it says no Yobitoi, that it means this tour would be Davka with his own children or other members of his household, but not somebody else who's outside the household. In fact, you can prove that from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah therefore fits much better with Rabbi Yochanan's Shitta. Now, what about Rav's Shitta? It's true, we said before, Rav didn't actually say it, but nevertheless, the Gemara attributed to him a Shitta before that he'd be Potter. How would he understand that Mishnah? So Tosfos points out that, first of all, you could say that according to him, it says, Bono Abitoi, as a Chiddush, to tell us that you would think, that you would think when he's mafkid, maybe even the owner of the thing is mafkid, having in mind that he might give it to his young children as well, because after all, they're a member of the household, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, a dafka has to be gdolim, and otherwise, if it was ketanim, then it's considered pshia. And also Tosfos says another possibility. According to Rav, you could say that it says the reason it says bon of aktanim rather than just tanim is because we do want to infer from it. We do want to bring out the inference from it that with gdolim it would be mutter. So therefore, in other words, so Rav would say what the Mishnah is implying is if they're gdolim, not part of the family, you shouldn't give it to them. But nevertheless, we can't be mechayim for that. Like Tosfos had said before, Rav would agree that the original owner can say in ritzoni shape of doni biad acher, but to go to the extent that therefore he should be chayiv to pay, we're not necessarily going to say. So according to Tosfos, so Tosfos is pointing out that according to Rav, also we can make the wording of the Mishnah work. And there's no, we don't have to say, we know it's true that the wording of the Mishnah fits nicely with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, but it can also be made to work with what Rav is saying. Okay. Omar Rava. So Rava says, so we had before like this, we had a Abaye explaining the shittus of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we said that according to Abaye, Rav was saying he's potter because he gave it to a ben das when he gives it over to another shomer, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he's chayev because he can say in ritzoni shepik doni biyadach. Now Rava gives a different reason behind Rabbi Yochanan's din. Omer Rava Hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is shomer shemasal shomer chayev. When one shomer gives over to another shomer, he's chayev, like Rabbi Yochanan. And again, like we said before, needless to say, if the original shomer was a shomer sachar and he gave it to a shomer chinam, the garui garo the shmirah, so where he weakened the shmirah, because now he made that the new shomer is going to the new shomer is going to watch it less carefully than the original one, and he's going to be chayev on fewer things than the original one. So then Rabbi Yochanan would say he's chayev. Ela afilu shem achinam shemasal shem asachar. Even a shem achinam gave it to a shem asachar, and they were by improved the shmirah, chayev. Then Rabbi Yochanan would say he's chayev. But now Rava gives a different reason. My timer, not a biased reason of that he can say in ritzoni shepik doni biyadacha. Rava is saying that that's not a strong enough reason to be mechayev. And fine, you shouldn't give over the pekudin to somebody else without the owner's permission. But that wouldn't be a strong enough reason to be mechayev. Rather, the reason is my timer, the omer lei, because the owner can say to the shomer, at mehem nasli b'shvua, you I trust with a shvua. So when you tell me that this animal was when you tell me this animal was nensa or mesa or machas malacha or mesa kadauka or whatever you're claiming happened, gneva v'aveda or whatever, then you I'm willing to trust with a shvua. Ha'echle mehem nasli b'shvua, the other guy I don't trust his shvua, and therefore you had no business giving it to him in the first place. So you don't know what actually happened, and therefore I'm going to be mechayev you. So Tosfos points out in that case, then, so now you have a big nafkamina between Rava's and Abaya's reasons. According to following Rava's reason, it would come out then that if the first shomer is able to swear about it, suppose that he was there at the time and saw what happened, or suppose that there were edim, then he would be potter. In fact, Tosfos says in that case, even if he gave it to a cheresh shot of a cotton, he'd be potter, because if we're talking about that it died naturally, as the Gemara is going to now go on to say, according to Rava, that when it dies naturally, he's potter either way, because it would have died the same way in one place as in another. So therefore, so you have nafkaminas over there where the first one is able to swear, or where no shvua is necessary in the first place, because there were edim, then those would be cases when Rava would say, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that he's potter. So Tosfos explains that the halacha is like Rava over here. So he brings that Rabbeinu Chananel holds that the halacha is like Abaye. Rabbeinu Chananel would hold. This is not usually we say. Of course, as we learned in the previous parak, the halacha is usually like Rava over Abaye, except for the six cases Yaal Kagam. But Rabbeinu Chananel would hold here also the halacha is like Abaye. That doesn't impinge on that rule because we're not dealing with an independent machlokas of their own. We're dealing with machlokas within what Rabbi Yochanan holds. But Tosfos says that no, the halacha is in fact like Rava, and therefore that any time that he's able to say I don't trust the other guy with the shvua, then I would only trust you, and you can't swear because you don't know what happened over here because you weren't there. Then therefore we're saying that he's chayav, implying again, as Tosfos says, if he doesn't have to swear because there are edim, or if he can swear because he was there, then he would in fact be he would be potter. Achronim deal with the exact details. The Shulchan Aruch says ultimately the reason is if he wasn't there, then it's one of those cases called mitoch she'ini yochol lishava mishalim, because he can't swear. Then, in other words, in principle, he should be chayav to swear. He's a shomer. If he were to swear that this thing happened, that he's a shomer chinam and he swears on gneiva v'aveda, or he's a shomer socher and swears on oinus, etc., he would be potter. But over here, he wasn't there because he gave it to some other shomer and it died by the other shomer and he doesn't know what happened. And therefore, mitoch sheni yochel lishava, because he can't swear, mishalim, then he's going to have to pay. And then the Ktsois brings a reason, the Ra'or explains a reason, and the Ktsois Achoshin quotes it, that the reason is because it's considered like he's Pesheya, it's considered like as if he said, you lent me money and I don't know if I paid you back. And the Nesivus calls him that he's a Mazik. So whatever the case, but the point is that there are cases where none of that would apply, and therefore there would in fact be cases where he might be Potter. Okay. Now the Gemara here's another discussion, which is going to relate back to that, previous one, is going to relate back ultimately to our Mishnah about two shomim. Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim as follows. Hoshaba, suppose that the shomer, here we're talking about one shomer, not two anymore. So the one shomer was Peshea, he didn't lock the door properly, and the animal wandered out. The Yotzis La'agam, it went out into the meadow. Now a meadow is a place, it could easily be stolen, but in this case, it wasn't stolen, a mesa kadauka, it died normally. Rashi points out, actually, there are two things you could have. It's not safe against wolves or against ganovim. You let it go out into the meadow, unsupervised, wolves can come and attack it, or ganovim can come and steal it. In the event neither of those things happened, it just died normally. Abaya Mishmeidir Rabba, Oma Chayev, Rabba Mishmeidir, Rava Mishmeidir Rabba, Oma Potter. So Abaya and Rava disagree what Rabba said about this. One of them says that Abaya said that Abaya says that Rabba said he'd be Chayev, and Rava says that Rabba said he'd be Potter. And the Gemara teaches out, Abaya Mishmeidir Rabba, Oma Chayev, called Dayona, the Ledoin Ki Haidina, Lav Dayona. In fact, Abaya says, not only is this the halacha, but any dayan who doesn't judge this way is not a valid dayan. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because now we're going to have later in the perek, we're going to discuss a point as follows, called t'chilosi b'pshia v'soifa b'onus. Suppose you have something where a person did something with the pikadin, which to begin with was pshia, but in the end, the pikadin was destroyed by something where that shia was not a factor, but rather there was an oinus. The case the Gemara gives later on in the perek is that a person was given coins to watch. Instead of burying them in the ground like he was supposed to, instead he put them in a tsrifa de urbani, in a hut woven together out of willow branches. Like hunters would use that as a place to hide in while they're hunting ducks or other animals like that. In English, it's called a duck blind. So anyway, the point is that now that's considered pshia in the sense that if the thing burns down, then the money is going to be lost with it. On the other hand, it's pretty safe as far as ganovim, because ganovim would never think of looking in such a place. Now, what happens if it does in fact get stolen by ganovim? Then is he chayev a potter? So we're going to discuss that later on in the parak. So Abaya says, loy mi boy lamando amat chilos v'pshia v'soifa ba'ones. Chayev. Needless to say, in the case over there, where according to the opinion that says that he's chayev, then Abaya says, obviously, in our case, the chayev, that he'd be chayev, because that's exactly what we have over here. He lost the b'pshia. He started by being careless and letting the animal wander out to the meadow, whereas we said it's in danger of wolves or thieves. And in the end, now there was an onus, because in the end, it died naturally from neither of those things. So yes, according to that opinion, obviously he's chayev. Ella, but Abaya continues, even according to the opinion that in the case over there, the money in the hut, he'd be potter. Because after all, there, what happened to the money had nothing to do with the carelessness, because normally such a place would be very safe against ganovim. In this case, Abaya says, view, even that opinion would hold that the Shomer is Chayev. My time, why is that? Damrinan, because we say it's possible, Hevla de Agma Katla, it's possible that the bad air in the meadow killed the animal. So in other words, the original owner can say that there was that the animal did die directly because of your pshia. If it had stayed at home, then it's used to the air in your house, it would have been fine. Now it went out to this meadow, and that's pshia on your part because the air over there injured it and it died. So Rashi uses the expression that it may be that it was killed by that. So the Rosh explains, actually, because after all, you're not going to say, what if he took the animal there himself? What if he didn't let it go? What if he didn't let it wander by himself? What if he took it to that meadow? Would we also say he's chayev because hevla da'agma? No, because if he himself took it, then it shows that he was being careful with it. So at that point, we consider the mesa kedauka to be an oynes and midi potter. But here, once we're saying already that he was pesheya by letting it out, then already Abaya is saying we can attribute to that also the fact that it died, the fact that it may be because of that air over there, and therefore you can be mechayev him on those grounds. So in other words, Abaya is saying, in short, that you can say the original pshia directly caused the animal's death. On the other hand, Rava Meshmed the Rabba Oma Potter, Rava says in the name of Rabba that he's Potter, and Rava says also, Kol Dayan, he uses the same expression, Kol Dayana Doladoin Tihaidin Alav Dayano. Any Dayan who does not pask in that way is not a Dayan. I guess we have to assume that maybe Abaya and Rava did not discuss this with each other. Otherwise, how is each one saying about the other one's opinion? Anybody who judges like that is not a Dayan. They both know each other. They both know that each other is certainly capable of being a Dayan. So maybe we have to say that Abaya and Rava said this each in their own places without knowing what the other one's version of it was. It's also possible that they're both quoting the Kol Dayana D'Leidoyin, that they're quoting from Rava himself, who said maybe Rava himself used that expression. Anyway. So Rava teaches out, needless to say, according to the opinion in that sugya later on Daphne Bays, where the beginning was pshia and the end was onus, as in our case. So that in the case of the willow hut over there and the money, that the opinion that says there that he's potter, for sure we'd say to potter, he would also say that he's potter over here, because again, Rava is not going to attribute the death of the animal to the air in the meadow in the swamp over there. Ela alfidulamando amachayev. Rava says that Rava is saying that even according to the opinion there he's chayev. Pacha potter here even that opinion would say that he's potter because he would say my time. Why is that damrinan? Because we can say malachamavus mali hocha mali hosam. What's the difference to the malachamavus whether the animal is here or there? Either way, the animal can equally well die in one place and another. So it's one thing. In other words, when it comes to the story with the money in the duck blind over there in the Tzrifa de Urbani, you can say that look, the fact is, you know, the Gemara establishes over there you're supposed to bury money in the ground. So here you didn't. If they had been buried in the ground, they wouldn't have gotten stolen. It's true that Ganavim are not normally going to look over there, but the fact is that you're putting them in the Tzrifa de Urbani directly caused that, they directly brought about the fact that they were stolen, because Ganovim did in the end think to look over there and they found it. If you're buried in the ground, that wouldn't happen. Here, Rava is saying, either way, wherever it was, or wherever it is, it's going, when its time is up, you're not going to say that maybe the stale air, that maybe the bad air over there killed it. So the Gemara says, Umoidi Abaya. Now, Abaya does agree to Ihadra Labe Mara Umesa that if after being out in the meadow, the animal returned back to the owner, Umesa, and there it died, maybe by the owner, we may mean the Shomer as well, then to Potter, then he would be Potter, my time, the Hahadra Law, because after all, it came back. But Lekka the Memma, Hevla, the Agma Katla, so we can't say, there's no way to say that the bad air over there killed it, because if that were the case, it wouldn't have made it back home. So therefore Abaya would agree that in that case, then in that case, he'd be potter. Yes, he was Peshea, but now the effect of that Pshia has been undone. It's back home. If now afterwards dies, then Mesa Kadauka, and he as a Shomer is potter. Umoidi Rava, on the other hand, Rava would agree, Kol hecha de ignav a ganav ba'agam, if a ganav stole it while it was in the meadow, or mesa kadavka be ganav, and then it died naturally in the house of the ganav, the chayev, then Rava agrees in that case the shomer would be potter. Ah, you could say malach hamavas mali hocha mali chasam. No, my time. The reason is the ishovka malach hamavas, because look, even if the malach hamavas had left the animal alone, even if the animal had stayed alive, the base of the ganva have a kaima. It's still, it's in the house of the ganav, and it's still lost to the original owner. So in other words, you can say that, yes, he was pesheya in the first place. He let it go out to the meadow where it was in danger of ganavim. And in fact, the ganav took it. So very nice, it's still alive. What good does that do me? The fact is it's in the ganav's hands, and I can't get it back. So therefore, Rava would agree that in that case, there it's not chilos of a pesheya, but sofer bonus, there it's that the loss of the animal. And so far, we don't care about even the death of the animal. Just the fact that the animal was stolen itself is already the loss, and that's directly because of his pesheya. So the Gemara continues, Omale Abaya l'Rava. So apparently, I guess eventually Abaya and Rava did check with one another on this, because Abaya asks Rava. So again, maybe when they're quoting before, called Dayana, Delay Doyen, etc., maybe this is they're quoting Rabba in this regard. So now Abaya asks Rava, Ludidoch the Amit Malachamavas Malihocha Malihosam, you're saying that he should be potter in such a case because the animal would have died equally well either way. Then let's go back to the earlier discussion. On Omar Aleph, we had that Rab Abba Bar Memel asked Rab Ami, we said Rab Yochanan had said, Shomer Shemosel Shomer is Chayev, and Rab Abba Bar Memel asked Rab Ami, what about when our Mishnah implies that he'd be Potter, because we have the case there with the Socher, there in the Mishnah, we have the case with the two Shomerim, where the Socher lent it out to the Shoyol, and we said if it dies, Kedarka, then the Shoyol is Chayev, and the Socher is Potter, therefore we said according to the Tanakama, the Socher swears, and the Shoyol pays him. So Rab Abba Bar Memel and asked what happened to Shomer Shemosel Shomer Chayev v'shani lei, and Rab Ami answered v'shenos nalei abaylem reshus lahashul. We're talking about where the owner gave him permission to lend it out. Why does he need to do that? V'lei malei, according to what you're saying, according to what you Rava are saying, that the animal would have died equally well either way. Lei malei malach hamavas mali hocha mali hosam. So then, he could have a different answer. Who cares? Well, yes, shomer shemosel or shomer chayev, but that would only apply to something where there would be a difference in one place versus another. So, for example, if it was stolen from one person's house versus the other, then you could say that if it had stayed by you, it would have been safe. But why don't we say that you could say a difference between other kinds of einsim versus dying. By your svara, you should be able to say that no matter what, the animal would have died either way. Therefore, Rab Ami does not have to be doichik or mishnah to say that we're talking about where Reuven, the original owner, gave him permission to lend it out, say that Reuven didn't give him permission. And if it was any other kind of onus, then yes, Shimon would be chayev because of either of the svaras. We said, why Rab Yechanan and Reuven chayev? A shomer shemosel or shomer. But with Mesa, it would be different. So the fact that Rab Ami didn't use that answer says Abaya to Rava, doesn't that show that your svara of malach hamavas mali chocha mali chasam, that the animal would have died equally well either way, is not valid. Actually, the Ritva points out, when you get down to it, the question could be on Abaya as well. Abaya is saying over here, you machayev him because it was in an agam, in a meadow or a swamp, where you could say that the stale air, the foul air over there killed it. There we were talking about he brought it into his house, so even Abaya wouldn't necessarily say that there's any issue with that. But the Ritva says, no, Abaya would say that, look, once he was Peshea, we're going to say that we're going to attribute everything. Yes, we might even say that the air quality in one house is worse than another. But then he says, no, that's not valid, because the fact is, Shremer Shemosel, Shremer is Chayev, even if we know for a fact that the air quality in the second house is better. So no, he ends up saying that the fact is, once he was Peshea, then yeah, like we said before, he's Peshea, therefore he's Chayev of everything that happened there. So Abaya would say, once you're saying he was Peshea, then we're Machayev him for everything. But Rava is saying that even when he was Peshea, there was a time when you can patter him, namely when we're saying Malchamavis, Mali Hocha, Mali Hosam. Well then, according to you, Rava, why didn't Rab Ami use that answer? Amalei. So Abaya answers him. Now remember, we had two reasons before for Rabbi Yochanan saying that he's chayev. We had Abaya's reason of ein ritzoni shepik doni biyad acher, and we had Rava's reason of that he can say that I don't trust him with the shavua, only you. So Rava says, "Liditchu demas nisu ein ritzoni shepik doni biyad acher." You Rava, who hold that the reason behind what Rabbi Yochanan says is that he can say I don't want the kodin to be in somebody else's possession. So then ikal ois vilahi. So then, yes, you have a very good point. You can ask the question that you can ask. Then there's room. Then there's room even for Rab Abba Bar Memel's question in the first place, and Rab Ami having to answer it. Ludidi, but Rava says, as far as I'm concerned, Da Amina, where I say the reason behind the din of Shomer Shemosel or Shomer Chayev is At Mehemnesli B'Shvur VaEifle Mehemnesli B'Shvur. I trust only you with the Shvur, not him. Then says Rava, according to my svara, Rab Abba Bar Memel had no basis even for the question, because in the case of our Mishnah, he lent it out to somebody else. He wasn't there at the time to be able to swear on it. So therefore, how is he? The soicher is the one who's swearing what happened. Okay, so we're talking about the soicher was there to watch what happened. Let's say, but otherwise he wouldn't be able to swear to it. But in that case, then you can't say I trust you with a shavua, not him, because it's the soicher who's swearing, not the shoyel. So as Rava is saying, you're asking why Rab Ami gave his answer the way he did. The fact is, the whole question, even of Rab Abba Bar Memel, is necessary only according to your shitta. The whole thing is not even necessary according to my shitta. Okay, the Gemara says, Masiv Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama points out a contradiction on Abaya from a Mishnah later in our Masechta. So again, in our Perek, we're dealing with the dinim of Shomrim. After that, we're going to get on to other topics in the following Perekim. Later on, in the middle of the seventh Perek of our Masechta, we're going to return to the din of Shomrim and continue with that throughout the rest of the seventh and the whole eighth Perek. So later on in Masechta, you have a Mishnah that says, hell, the Mishnah deals with over there what exactly is considered Oines and what is not. Hela the Rosh Tzukin, the Mishnah says if the Shomer brought the animal to the top of a high mountain, the Nuflan, it dies, ain't the oinus, and that's not considered an oinus, that's Pshia, because it could easily slip and fall, the Chayev, and therefore he's Chayev. So Rami Bachama says, Homesa Kadavka Hareza Oinus Apotter, implying if it didn't slip and fall, if it just died naturally over there, then we'd consider it an oinus, then he's Potter. That's an example of Tchilas of Pshia, Vasif of Oinus. Now, according to Abaya, that the air quality in different places is a factor. Why wouldn't the original owner be able to say, even if the animal died normally, he could say the mountain air over there killed it? Yes, the mountain air is fresher than the air in the valleys, but nevertheless, it's not air that this animal is used to, and therefore maybe we should consider a pshia. Inami uvtsina dahar kotla, or the strain, the tire, the effort of climbing up that mountain may have killed it. So according to Abaya, that we consider such factors, and we don't say malchamavas, malihocha, malihasam. Why is the Mishnah saying that only if the animal fell is he chayev? Because then it's considered pshia. Why wouldn't be mechayev him no matter how the animal died? And the answer is hocha ma'iskinen. We're talking about he didn't just stam take the animal up over there for the heck of it. He took it up there because there's a good fat kind of pasture over there, and it's normal to take animals like that also up there in the first place. So therefore, it's not considered pshia in the first place. So the Gemara says yehochi emas yehochi noflanami. Well, then shouldn't he be potter even if the animal fell? Because after all, he took it up there for a good reason. So he took it up there for a good reason. So Tosfos says, according to Rava, Malchamavus, Malihosam, he wouldn't even have to say that he took it up there. To Mira Shaman Vatov, he could say that he took it up there stam for the fun of it. So therefore, when it fell, then we can say that he shouldn't have taken it up there in the first place, because as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, it ended up falling because it overpowered him and ran away and ended up falling. Then you could say that maybe he's chayev, because he shouldn't have brought it up there in the first place. And we can't say malachamavas, malihocha, malihasim, because it did after all fall and die. But the question is on Abaya, that it was saying he brought it up to Mirah Shaman Vatoiv, then once he brought it up there for a valid reason, then why is he chayev even if it fell? So the answer is shahoyla l'tokva v'lo tokva, because he should have held on to it strongly and he didn't. and he let it go, and therefore it slipped and fell. So therefore, we can be mechayev him. We can be mechayev him for that. So now, in fact, Tosfos says in that case, so you should have prevented it from falling. So like this, Abaya would say, if there wasn't a mid of Shaman Matov, then he would be chayev no matter what. Abaya, again, doesn't hold to this concept of Malach HaMavis, Malach HaMavisam. Now they took it up to a mid of Shaman Matov. Still, though, if it fell, you can still hold him responsible because he should have held it more strong. So the Gemara says, Ihochi Emer Reisha. Fine, if you're going to learn that way, though, look at the Reisha of that same Mishnah, which has also the Rosh Hitzukin Menafla. If it by itself went up to the high jagged mountains and then it fell, Hareza Onus, the Mishnah says that is considered an Onus. You should ask, Iboile the Miskipa. Even in that case, he should have been, you're saying that he should have held on to it. Fine, it ran up there by itself, but still, he should go and run after it and follow it and make sure that it doesn't fall. And if not, then you should still be Mechayim. And the answer is, Loit Sricha, the Reisha is talking about, Shetakofatu also, Tekofatu Yoda. You're talking about where the animal was stronger than him in both cases. It was too strong, so it ran away and ran up the mountain, and then it was too strong for him to be able to prevent it from falling. So therefore, we can call that an Oinus. Even though, in other words, we're not necessarily saying that there was a mid of Shaman Vatov over there. So Tosfos explains, in other words, in the first part of the Mishnah, we're saying that even that the whole thing was Baal Kocha, also the Rosh Hitzukin, it went up on its own without him being able to prevent it. So now when it fell down, also without him being able to prevent it, then he's Potter. But now in the Sefer, we're saying Hela, we're talking about that he brought it up there, meaning that he's strong enough to be able to control the animal's movements. So then we said, if he brought it up to a mid of Shaman Vatov, and then when it comes to the falling, he wasn't able to hold it, then we're saying that can be considered an oinus, because then he did bring it up with a valid purpose to graze it over there on a good grazing spot. And the fact that it fell was tikafatu was because it overpowered him and he wasn't able to hold it back. But had he brought it up there without the mid of Shaman Vatov, then in fact he'd be chayev even if tikafatu v'yoda, even if it fell down without him being able to control it, because it was pshia on his part to bring it up there in the first place. So the point is, in other words, that there's no contradiction to Abaya from this Mishnah, because in fact we're talking about when is he potter is only when he brought it to mid Shaman Vatov, and therefore we're not going to say that the heir of the mountain, therefore we're not going to say that he was Peshea in the first place, and therefore we're not going to say that the heir of the mountain or the strain of climbing up the mountain or whatever killed it, as opposed to where he was Peshea, for example, by leaving the door of the barn open and the animal wandered out, or for example, by taking it up there without a mid Shaman Vatov, then yes, he would be Chayev. He would be chayav either way, according to Abaye. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.